From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Can two people who have never met get together and make meaningful music? NPR's Project Song puts musicians in a recording studio for 2 days and documents their songwriting process. Well, today, the two musicians are Chris Walla, he's the guitarist and producer for the popular indie band Death Cab for Cutie, and producer and musician Jay Robbins. When they first met up in our studios, they knew each other's music, but the rest was unfamiliar. Project Song producer Bob Boylan picks up their story.
It didn't take but a few minutes for it all to sink in.
I mean, we're both a little terrified about it, I think, but it's pretty exciting. I think it's going to be fun.
That's Chris Walla. He and musician Jay Robbins are in NPR Studio 4A, a beautifully spacious, wood-filled music studio. Chris and Jay have plugged in their guitar amps. There's a drum kit set up, and that seat will be filled later by Jay's friend, Darren Zentek.
Honestly, I feel like we've never played music together before. Mm-hmm. That the best thing we could possibly do is just sit down and start playing, just start jamming. Mm-hmm.
The song they're going to try and write and record will be based on a photograph and a word. I gave them a choice of six. They chose the word cerebral. The picture they selected is a house in a huge canyon, and the canyon is flooded, and so is the house. And in this huge lake of water is a small boat, and on that boat, a dog. The sky is a gorgeous blue. It's a surreal, cataclysmic scenario that was created by photographer Tom Chambers. You'll soon hear how Chris Walla uses this image to help him write the song's lyrics.
So how do we write songs? I'm always inclined to just write a four-chord pop song, if not a three-chord pop song.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that you can help pull away from that.
Did you hear that little doo-doo-doop, that simple three-note bass line Jay Robbins played? It was nothing earth-shaking for sure, but it was a conversation starter, a bit like someone asking you, what's up? And Chris Walla starts to respond to that bass line, that what's up, with his acoustic guitar. Again, nothing profound. You often don't start with the profound. You just have to start. Around this time, their drummer arrives. And with few words spoken and only a few strums played, Darren Zentek joins in the creative process.
Yes. Are we rolling, Neil? One, two, three.
And Chris Walla, Jay Robbins, and Darren Zentek continue to expand the skeletal structure of the song by playing it over and over and over again, and each time discovering the possibilities with the chords and the song structure they'd cooked up.
There's something magic in there yet, and we haven't found it yet, I don't feel like. There's.
But near the end of the first day, just about 6 hours into Project Song, Chris Walla, Jay Robbins, and Darren Zentek were finding a groove, finding ways to transition from one part of the song to another, and I could see and sometimes hear that Chris Walla was working on lyrics for the song. In fact, he'd been scribbling lyrics on an old paper bag he kept in his back pocket.
With any luck, there won't be a lot of writing to do. I think I've got this thing already sort of half in the bag.
Literally, mm-hmm. On the bag. In fact, where is that paper bag?
Yeah, it's an actual bag. Yeah. I started just saving bags from, delivery food and stuff for whatever happens to be handy. And this was a bag from Falbo Brothers Pizzeria in Madison, Wisconsin. And this is the bag that the salad came in that I've been carrying around with me for the last 3 days. So,
you got some verses?
Yeah. I have two verses and one chorus. Right now I'm writing pretty literally from the photograph that we have.
I heard you say the word
I'm
mercury.
Singing the word mercury. There's mercury. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where that comes from or why. I don't know, but.
Do you care?
Not especially. I suppose if there was a global warming or climate crisis, it could tie into that, but I don't know if it necessarily needs to be that literal. I don't know. It's a word that's got a nice shape for the spot that it's going to fall into. And that's so important to me, is just having the language fit in those kinds of terms as much as in terms of what the words actually mean.
Day one is over. There are more words to write, lots more to record. But in one day, a song has taken shape, where just hours ago there were some photographs and an awful lot of apprehension. Very early in the next morning, Chris Walla woke from his hotel room in downtown Washington, walked around the city listening to a CD of what had been recorded the day before. He jotted down more lyrics on his paper bag. Our next and final recording day began around 10 a.m. After dozens of takes and harmony parts, Jay Robbins takes a stab at some vocals to reinforce what Chris Walla had put down.
All of this hinges on the mercury right in front of me, from 32 to infinity.
The rest of the day included a Jay Robbins piano part, more guitars, the final vocal tracks, more guitars, and vocal harmonies. And here's a bit of how it turned out. I sat down with Jay Robbins and Chris Walla to try to figure out what they understood about what they'd just done. And for Jay Robbins, it was the photograph of that huge canyon filled with water and a house half flooded, tilted, perhaps floating away from a dog on a boat that sparked all that he did.
This picture is a really dark scenario in a way. I mean, you could definitely see it that way because the house is dilapidated, but it has this wide open kind of optimistic quality to it.
I mean, it felt like in terms of writing a song, it's like, well, you can write a song that goes to the little sad thing that has the dark places in it, or you can go everywhere but that. So in this case, it was that.
A lot of the time, the more that you talk about what you should do in the structure of the song, the more pitfalls you run into. And the thing that Darren definitely is great about is he's, every time we've ever jammed and worked on songs, he's always been, you know, when we hit the impasse and we're like, what is it supposed to do now? He's like, just keep playing. It'll work itself out. It'll happen. And it's always been true. And then you stop being cerebral.
Yeah.
And then right. Stuff just kind of happens.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
You can watch the creation of this song at our Project Song website and hear an entire song at NPR.org. For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
If you wanted to throw a huge dance party tonight, you could call up a DJ and bring in a sound system. But one 34-year-old jazz musician wonders, why not bring in a big band, as you might have in the past? Darcy James Argue leads an 18-piece big band. He's also a writer. His blog has become a popular jazz website. Patrick Jerawatnanan has this profile.
Jazz composer Darcy James Argue did not start out to be a blogger.
Mainly I started because I needed an easy-to-put-together website for the band. But, I mean, you know, like, we're kind of a two-blogging apartment here. My girlfriend has a political blog that she had started, and I started to get jealous. And hers is much more popular than mine.
Argue writes frequently about jazz and modern music, with forays into politics and pop culture. But his site also functions as an information hub for his band, Secret Society. Argues posted downloadable recordings of nearly every gig that Secret Society has ever played, over 30 sets in all.
Isn't that the drug dealer model where you give away a bit of your product for free and then the people get hooked and then they come back and they want more and they're willing to pay for it?
Peter Hum is an arts editor for the Ottawa Citizen newspaper, where he too curates a blog about jazz.
His website just struck me as a really cool place to go and learn about jazz through the eyes and ears of someone who's really out there doing it in New York.
Nearly 4 years after Secret Society's first gig, in the basement of the New York rock club CBGB, Darcy James Argue has finally released Infernal Machines, his band's first studio album. Argue says he waited so long to make an album because he wanted to perfect the details. It's not cheap to record an 18-piece big band, so Argue turned to his listeners for help. He set up a fund where fans could make tax-deductible contributions and asked his blog's readers to contribute.
That's like my least favorite thing to do on the blog. You know, NPR, I'm sure you can relate, no one's going to like doing the pledge drives.
Argue says he was overwhelmed by the response, even though it only came out to a little over 10% of the recording budget. He's funding the remainder of it through his day job as a music copyist.
I have various clients that I prepare music for, and I transcribe stuff as well. I actually had a kind of a funny gig for the CK1 fragrance. They wanted the transcription of the jingle that they use in their ads into music notation. So any time I get any chance to do one of those, I will, because it means that I can then afford to do more Secret Society work.
Secret Society isn't just any jazz big band. Music is informed by the science fiction subgenre called steampunk, which envisions a future where steam power is still today's dominant technology.
For me, the core of what was in steampunk was this kind of creative referencing of the past and using that as a lens to comment on the present. So we've got this antiquated music technology, the big band. There's something beautiful about the possibilities of having that many musicians and kind of reverse engineering taking in, saying, well, what would it be like to try and play like studio crafted rock with this kind of swing era technology?
It goes from anywhere from ethereal and spacey to very, very deep grunge, rock, techno, etc.
Ingrid Jensen has played trumpet and flugelhorn in Secret Society since the band's first gigs.
It feels like the feeling that I had when I used to play in these great swing bands where they really swung, but in this case it's more like really rocking out.
Darcy James Argue isn't afraid to embrace the pop and rock of today, along with the music of great big band composers. If anything, he says, today's jazz musicians should be doing it more.
The thing is, I'm a white guy from the West Coast in my early 30s. If I have a culture, it's grungy guitars and kind of minor key chord progressions. So I never really considered making music that didn't involve that in some way.
Darcy James Argue's approach to big band music might also help unsuspecting listeners, those who wander into the rock club Secret Society sometimes plays, and see 18 music stands and just one guitar. Patrick Jaren Watsonanen, NPR News.
You can find more of the interview with Darcy James Argue at NPR's new jazz publication, A Blog Supreme. It's at npr.org/blogsupreme. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
In the pop music business, very few singles actually become hit songs, but musicians can now use a computer program to hone in on what they think you will like. The software is produced by a company called Music Intelligence Solutions. NPR's Laura Seidel reports.
Many of us like to believe that there's a little magic behind the making of a hit single. Take a song like I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas. I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. And that's a good song, judging by sales. It's top of the Billboard pop chart. David Meredith, CEO of Music Intelligence Solutions, says there's no magic in that. It's math. He says software gave the song a hit score of 8.9 out of 10. It's called Hit Song Science,
which are a series of algorithms that we use to look at what's the potential of a song to be sticky with a listener, to have those patterns in the music that would correspond with what human brainwaves would find pleasing.
Meredith says his software found that hits have certain common patterns of rhythm, harmony, chord progression, length, lyrics. A study done by the Harvard Business School claimed the software was accurate 8 out of 10 times. This summer, Music Intelligence launched a website for songwriters called Youplaya. David Bell, part of the hip-hop duo The Block Scholars, paid $90 to use it.
It's an unbiased validation of your music. You know, it's not your family turning around and tell you, oh, you got a great song.
The computer told Bell he had a 7.1. Good, but not great. So he went back to the studio and remixed.
Hold your head up, man. Yo, yo, yo. This is for my people all around the world trying to get what they deserve. You don't need no haters in your circle, so kick them to the curb.
He got his score to 7.6. That's platinum. He could hold his head up.
We can use Youplaya as a tool to figure out what songs we want to put in a demo to send to these labels and stuff.
From an artist standpoint, a songwriter standpoint, it's horrifying to me.
That's independent singer-songwriter Kim Tuvim. Tuvim can't stand the star-making machine behind the popular song. She hates the idea of artists trying to fit their songs into algorithms.
You'll find a decreasing amount of any kind of surprises in music. This just becomes a tool to make that narrowing of the field more accessible.
Tuvim says her songs come from a mysterious place in her unconscious. There ain't no lifeboat can float us away from him. There ain't no lifeboat can float us away from here. Here. Tuvim might not love the computer, but the computer loves her song Flood. It got a 7.3, that's platinum. It doesn't surprise New Yorker music critic Sasha Frere Jones that a computer can predict hits, but he doesn't think it can predict all the hits. Thank goodness, he says. Sometimes songs come along that don't fit the mold.
I think of a song like Da 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 by Trio, which people love. They just love that song. And I can't imagine that at the time in 80, 81, that the software would have given that a very high rating. It was sonically very small. It sounded like a kid's song. They might have told the band, no, beef it up.
The software still doesn't think it's a hit. Da 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 got a 6. Jones worries if hit song science played too big a role in the music industry, a lot of good songs would never see the light of day. Music Intelligence Solutions CEO Meredith calls his software a democratizing force in music, a sort of computerized American Idol. If an unknown, unconnected artist gets a high score, then his company will help promote them with record labels.
We'll shine a spotlight on you. You'll get recognized and we'll get the word out. And that's probably a good way for the industry to work relative to it being who do you know. It's more about what kind of talent level that you have.
Meredith also points out that his software isn't writing the songs. Human beings do that, at least for now. Laura Seidel, NPR News.